we've been thinking, haven't we, about praying. Okay? And we've talked about the fact that God wants a friendship with us, tapping us on the shoulder, looking around, simple as that. We've thought about the fact that he wants to be our Father. Okay? We've talked about the fact that prayer, all prayer and worship comes from our close relationship, our close friendship to God. Okay? And we talked as well about how close our relationship and friendship with God can be. And I asked you the question, are you comfortable holding God's hand? Okay. We also thought about the fact that we're called to that friendship, that fellowship with his son Jesus. And we talked as well about being a shepherd, being a sheep, and having the good shepherd look after us. We thought last week about the name of Jesus, and we talked about this guy, and we talked about this guy, Giles, who is the ambassador, UK ambassador to Peru. We also talked about the fact that God calls us and it's a calling because he loves us. And we talked about the fact that some people get the name of their, if when they get married, they take, the wife takes the name of the husband, although not all people these days do. Some people go for double-barreled names, don't they? But in the bigger scheme of things, a wife takes the husband's name because she loves him. She wants to be identified with him. And we finished with a quote from Andrew Murray last week, as we bear that name before men, we have power to use it before God. But I want to think today about the fact that praying is also an answer to life's stresses. Now, hands up if you haven't got any stresses. Right, I thought as much, yes. Whether they're small or whether they're big, whether you don't know what to do or whether you just have to work through your list of things to do, life is full of stress. And it seems that things are speeding up, doesn't it? It does seem, sort of seem, I mean, particularly around Christmas, things, oh, I've got to do this, got to get this done, got to... I want to start by thinking about one particular guy in the Bible, in the Old Testament. His name was Elijah. And here is the scriptures for him. There's quite a few, it's quite a passage, 1 to 15 I want to read, of 1 Kings 19. Okay. Let's read. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. Well, Elijah had just called down fire from God from heaven and just had 450 prophets of a false god killed, okay? So when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, "May the God strike me and even kill me, if by this time tomorrow I've not killed you, just like you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, travelling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, for the journey ahead will be too much for you." All the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai. the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." 2. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. A voice said again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go." And there were more things that he said as well. So in that passage, we've got death threat from Jezebel. We've got Elijah sinking into depression. Oh, I might as well die. As stress. Oh, I've come here because this has happened and people have left the covenant and everyone else is dead. But all this time, Elijah was praying. He was speaking to God and God was speaking to him. Okay? And as he was thinking about his death threat, he ran for his life. As he was depressed, as he was stressed, he just heard what God said and did what God said. And then there came a point that he's standing on this mountain and there's wind and there's earthquake and there's fire. More stress. And then the sound of a gentle whisper. And that would have brought his heart to peace. I think of another person in 1 Samuel was Samuel's mum. Okay? Hannah. She went to the temple with her husband. And she went and she prayed. She was in anguish of heart because she was barren. She didn't have any children. And the priest of the day, Eli, thought she was drunk. And so he complained to her. Said, "What are you doing? Put away your drinking." He said, "It's not drink. It's heart bitterness. It's sorrow of heart." And Eli said to her, "May the Lord grant your request." She got up and she went back. She knew God had heard her. It brought peace. And this is where I want us to go this morning in the things that we're thinking about. The fact that we've got our stresses, we've got our difficulties, but at the end of it all, God wants us to be in peace. Now this week, one of our folk, Moy, had some stress, didn't you, Moy? You had some stress. Very stressed. Okay, her husband is quite poorly. If you don't know, Moy's husband is in a wheelchair. He's had a stroke 7 years ago. He can't speak now. Okay, he's not. Moy tries her hardest to help her husband, to help her children. Okay, she was getting stressed, weren't you? She was getting stressed. And angry, okay. But she said to me on Tuesday, "I didn't want to shout at my husband." But she was feeling really angry. And then she said, as she thought about these things, as she prayed about these things, God's peace just came on her. She felt all calm. She said, "Well, that was the Holy Spirit just coming." And she felt calm. And because she said to her husband, "I don't want to shout at you." I don't want to shout at you. God brought his peace to Moy's heart. And from that, she was able to do things in a much better way. Okay? So that was great. I mean, I was really excited that Moy said that on Tuesday when she came along. Because you thought, oh, wow, that is just what I want to talk about on Sunday. The fact that when we pray, the peace of God comes. Okay? Now, there's a verse in Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. It says this, "You," that is God, "will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Okay? Let me read that again. "God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you." I forgot to say that actually as Moy was getting that peace, God gave her some ideas as well that helped her with sorting out some care for her husband. It's really good to trust the Lord. Okay? When we pray, we are handing over to God our stresses, our difficulties. Okay? If we've got difficulty, Lord, it's yours. But so often, we say, yeah, but I want it. I'm comfortable with my stress. When we say, Lord, I need you to sort this out for me. It's impossible for me to do. Here, I give it to you. It's so important to let go. Okay? And even if we're in the middle of a storm, it's not a very good picture, actually, because it's a peaceful lake. I'm thinking, I wanted waves and storm, you know. But trust God in the storm. There's a song that Matt Redman wrote, and some of the lines are this. "When I am in the storm, the storm is not in me." And that is amazing words. You can be in the midst of all things going wrong and still have peace in your heart. Yeah? So, trust in God. This is where it gets a bit... dice is not the right word. I'm thinking about you going along to a jetty, okay, and there's a little boat there and you've got to get into that boat. And you know, don't you, most of us have done this in the past. Someone's held the boat and we've got one hand on the railing and we get our leg over the edge of the boat and we put our foot into the boat and the boat starts to move. You know that, doesn't it? It starts to move and you think, oh, you're holding onto the railing and you think, do I dare let go? And sometimes it's like that with trusting God. If I really trust God, if I really, in praying, give him my stresses, can I get in the boat and let go? The answer is yes. You know, if you thought about it, if you thought about some of these massive, great, big boats that are around, then all made of metal, metal sinks. Well, how come the boat floats then? You sort of go, no, can't go on that. No. We've got to trust. As we give God by praying our stresses, our difficulties, Lord, it's yours. Okay. Now, of course, there is the other way, is getting out of the boat. This is even more scary. Do you remember when Jesus walked on the water and Peter said, if it is you, ask me to come to you on the water. And so he actually had to get out of the boat in the storm to stand on the water. It's the only time it's recorded. Peter gets out the boat and he stands there. And when he starts looking around him, that's when things start to fall apart. But all the time he had his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. So, let's have a look at another scripture that Jesus spoke in Matthew's gospel. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I'm sure that most of us have got worries about everyday life. Okay? Some of the worries are much bigger than others. Okay? You can have silly little niggly worries, or what if this doesn't happen, and what if that doesn't happen, or if I don't get this sorted out, what will happen with, you know. But there are other things that are big. Where am I going to get the money to pay my gas bill? Where am I going to get the wherewithal to do what I want to do? Well, this is what Jesus says. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, or even enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant, or harvest, or store foods in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? How valuable do you feel this morning? Do you feel valuable? I suppose so. If I put a value on your life today, would you say, oh yes, it's quite high, quite a value? You are of far more value than a few birds to your Father. Today I want to say to you, in his sight, in God's sight, you are precious. You are valuable. And even if you don't feel that you are, even if you feel worthless at this point, God says, to me, you're valuable. Verse 27. Can all your worries angle at a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. That should make us relax just in that, shouldn't it? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles are enough for today. So we've got all these things, some greater than others, the stresses, the problems, anxieties, the future, all these things. And there's God in heaven, right? Just think about this for a second, right? God in heaven, he was the one that created the universe, okay? Now, I believe that he created these things. I do not believe in the theory of evolution. I believe that he put these stars, this star called the sun, he put the planets that we have all into place, and they are all interconnected. They are all exactly in the right place where they need to be. And he holds it all in his hand, doesn't he? Okay. We sometimes sing that song, it says, hands that flung stars into space. And in Hebrews it talks about the fact that he's upholding all things by the word of his power. Now if he is holding all the planets and the sun and getting everything, holding it all in place, we shouldn't be crossing our fingers and hoping for the best. Okay? We should be, Lord, here's my problems. Heavenly Father, here's the things that are my difficulties. I just want to trust you. Okay? Now, Jesus also said this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, he said, I don't give you peace like the world gives. You know, the world will give something but take something back. Okay? Jesus says, I'm giving you my peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Now, here's a story of this young lady. She'd been in her field. She'd been harvesting. It looks like spinach or greens of some description. She's been in the shamba, in the field. She'd been harvesting. She's got a whole load on her head. She's got to walk all the way from her field for the 2 or 3 miles to the town, to the marketplace. And she's walking on the road, and as she's walking on the road, a pickup truck comes along and says, do you want a lift to town? Yes, please, she said. So she gets in, and she sits in the back of the pickup truck with the stuff still on her head. And the driver starts off again, and he looks behind her. What are you doing? So he stops the pickup. He said, what are you doing? And she said, well, I've not got very much money on me, so I'm willing to pay you for my transport, but I don't want to pay for the transport of my goods. Silly lady. Take it off your head and put it in the back of the pickup with you. And then she carried on. And we're like that sometimes, aren't we? We say, Lord, I need you to carry me. This is so difficult, but we've still got our burdens. Now, I don't want to be flippant with these things, but God really wants to bear our burdens. Okay? He really does. And He wants to. As we pray and give our stresses, our burdens, our anxieties, our whatevers to God, He wants to bring in to us His peace. Let's look at what Paul writes in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Of course, that's an easy thing to do, isn't it? Really easy to be anxious for nothing. It's not. It's difficult, isn't it? But here he writes, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, it's another word for prayer there, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses, goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay. So this is the main verse. This is another version. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And it says, and the peace of God, which goes beyond anything we can understand, will guard your hearts and minds. I don't know about you, that's what I want. I want to know the peace of God in my heart, ruling, guarding, keeping. Oh, yes. It's not something we can negotiate with God, okay? It's not for us to say, okay, what we'll do then is I'll sort this out with you so that you can give me your peace, but I need to hang on to this and this. Because we are like that sometimes, aren't we? I don't know what it is about human beings, but sometimes they just like what is contrary. They like what is not good. But God says, all your burdens onto me, and I will give you peace. Oh, Lord. This is good. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It's in the praying that we will find God's peace comes. Okay? I thought this was really nice. I thought like I might blow this up and put it on a piece of card, take it home. That's the verse that we've read. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's important as well. Thank you, God, that you are taking my stresses. Thank you, God, the things I can't handle, you are going to take on my behalf. Yes, but Matt, I've still got to go and do this tomorrow. Well, yes, you have. But if you give the anxiety of it to God, you will go and do that thing tomorrow in his peace. Yeah? Rather than, I was terrible. I used to go to work, I tell you. Some of you know about my old boss, John. He was angry. And I used to go to work with butterflies and knots in my stomach. Because when I got into the office, I knew he was going to tear into me, even if I'd done nothing wrong. I knew he was going to start criticizing or, you know, oh, why didn't you do that? And I used to get home, and if I'd had a bad day, I'd come home like this. And Michelle would say, you've had a bad day, haven't you? I said, yeah. You really, 4.5 years, I put up with that, 5 days a week. But there came a point, like Elijah at our beginning, there came a point where God came and spoke to my heart. And when his voice came here, it changed everything. I prayed. I wanted to go and do some prayer and fasting, but I was too scared to ask my boss for time off. It was like a spiral in my life. But there came a point, God spoke, I could say, the living word, just into my heart, changed everything. The next day I went to work without the knots in my stomach. And I had another 4.5 years with John. And we ended up the best of friends. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, pray with petitions, with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. You are going to sort this out. For me today, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you do. I present my request to you, Lord, that you will do on my behalf. And what I have to do, Lord, show me. And the peace of God will come. Guard our hearts and minds. So are you anxious? Are you stressed? Don't you know what to do? Pray. Trust. Pray. Trust. I think let's pray, shall we? God, Lord, these are quite high things, Lord, for us to be able to hand our difficulties and our stresses over to you. But Lord, You're encouraging us today, Lord God, to pray, to hand over to you all the things that are tearing us down. Lord, and this is what we want to do, Lord. This is what I want to do this morning. Lord, I just want to come and just take the things that are weighing heavy on me. Take the things that are weighing heavy on us, Lord, and lift them to you. Perhaps we can't even lift, Lord, because they're so weighty. But Lord, we just put them onto you, Lord. Lord, we trust you. We trust you that you are going to work all things together for good. Lord, we can't see it any other way, Lord. You are the one who values us more than sparrows. You are the one that clothes us. You are the one that feeds us. All the things that we worry about day by day, you are the one that provides. So Lord, we just come, we just put all our worries, all our cares onto you and say, Lord, that what we want to do is we want to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and you'll add all these things into us. Lord God, just come, we pray. Lord, as we lift things up to you, just come to our hearts, Lord, and bring that peace that we need so desperately, Lord. We need peace in these days, Lord. Lord. Amen.